Let's bring in Mike Causey. Mike, it's not too long before the NHL playoffs start.
When they start, the end of August or something?
I don't know, but I know that the Rangers are in it.
Rangers and the Islanders.
Yeah. So I don't know.
And they play till Thanksgiving? I don't know.
When I don't know. It's just...
It's crazy.
Yeah, I just think... Just
can the season and start again in October like you're supposed to.
Because now this is going to also ruin the training regimen for the players. They've been sitting idle for how long? So now they're going to play again for a short period of time. Then there's going to be a very short period of time off, and they're going to start again.
And you're going to hear the people that get to near the Stanley Cup Finals is going to say, we're at a big disadvantage over a team like the Devils, who didn't make the playoffs, and they're basically off from March until when they start again. So I don't understand why the suddenness of having to play the season for hockey and basketball is there. I mean, when they had strikes and whatever and the seasons were over, that was it. Now there's no reason for them to be playing now. There really isn't. They're not playing in front of people. There's the weirdest situations to play that I've ever seen before. Why start playing hockey in the middle of July?
And also the NBA, to be quite honest with you, to resume their bubble playoff season. To me, it's going to do more damage to the athletes because they're completely out of their routine than anything else.
Just pull the plug. This way they can train and be ready for a new season. I mean, if they don't play, they're only two and a half months away from starting a new season.
That's the crazy thing. And even look at baseball now. Several umpires are out for the season. Why? Because they got coronavirus. I mean, it's nuts. I'm you know what? I'm watching some of the practice games on TV, and you can tell that the announcers aren't in the normal booth, first of all. I've been watching some Minnesota Twins games. And it's just not the same with nobody in the stands.
I don't understand why the announcers can't be in their usual spot.
I don't
get it.
Because they'll be within 6 feet of one another and the crew and near.
Yeah, but if you test and you're not positive, there's nothing to catch.
Yeah, it's just I just go crazy. I just think this is all. Hey, did you hear about Bob Baffert?
Old news, man. He's been doing it for years.
The Arkansas Racing Commission suspended him. His horse is
15 days.
Yeah.
That's a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, that's nothing. That's nothing for a trainer like that.
It's a slap on the wrist. But, I mean, everybody, these guys like Baffert and Pletcher and Brown, they're the same as the others. They just do it with bigger horses. It's if anybody thinks that these guys that win at these big percentages don't cheat, it's not true. I mean, they get better horse stock, but the performances that these horses put out, they're like gossamer's wings. Horses can't do these things. And especially with, you know, other ingredients that they're able to give horses that are legal. And I saw one trainer, I was reading an article, I can't remember who it is. I mean, back when I started following horse racing in the early 80s, the wonder drug was Lasix. Every horse that was put on Lasix all of a sudden ran better. Well, the thing with Lasix is, if you're a bleeder, doesn't mean like you're bleeding, but you hemorrhage in your lungs from the compression of you running so hard, the horses do anyway, that the Lasix prevents that from happening. And absolutely 100%, if you have a racehorse who has nothing to do in his life but run, he needs something to stop that procedure from happening, stop that bleeding, and Lasix does that. But then everybody started doing it, even whether your horse was bleeding or not, and Lasix became a mask for other things. So this trainer in this article said that no horses should be on Lasix unless you're a confirmed bleeder. And I agree 100% with him, because it masks other things. And because all the horses using it, guys like Baffert and Brown and Pletcher and whoever else you want to name, they can use this to mask other things. That's my opinion, and I'll stand by it, because I was right with what happened with two guys that are in a hooscow, and I'm sure these other guys do it to some extent as well.
See, where the Cowboys have not reached an agreement for a deal with Dak Dak Prescott.
Here's what you do to him. You go to a locker or wherever he is, his house, and you either pin up or you send him applications for UPS and 7-Eleven and say, have a nice life. That's all. Goodbye. Is he contracted? He's under contract, correct?
Yeah.
Honor your contract. So just tear it up, null and void. You don't get paid. Go play for whoever you want. Have a nice life.
And just suck it up. Go through the last year of your contract and perform well, and then you can hold everybody's throat to the knife.
If they think your value is that high.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing with Kaepernick. Kaepernick is not a good quarterback. He did what he did. He believes what he believes. That's fine. It has nothing to do with it. And we've said it, you and I, millions of times. If Kaepernick was a viable quarterback to have your team win a Super Bowl, he could stand on his head and do whatever he wants. He'd be playing in the NFL.
Well, so if he's a really viable quarterback, the Dallas Cowboys,
there's a long line of teams that would sign him. He's not that good.
Yeah, so
Prescott, he never won a Super Bowl. He thinks he's Joe Montana or Phil or Tom Brady for whatever he wants to get. But he, in the owner's eyes, he's not worth a new contract. He has a contract. Uphold your contract. These NFL players and other in other sports as well. When you sign a contract, you have to honor it. If you don't want to, you signed that contract when you signed it because it was the best thing for you. You were the happiest man in the world. Honor it. There's no honor in sport anymore. Honor your contract. If you're good enough and you're deemed worthy enough of a new one, your owner's going to give it to you. Obviously, the owner doesn't think so, and it's the owner's prerogative not to do it. If you want to stand there and stamp your feet and be a baby and say, I'm not playing unless I get another contract, guess what? Stay in your room and watch TV. You're not playing. You're not getting paid. Have a nice life.
All right.
No hard feelings, but this is business.
Do we have any other sports or racing to talk about?
Saratoga opens today.
All right, the Kazi Saratoga picks.
Let me tell you, what a terrible opening day card. The only thing worse than that is I have already seen the Monmouth past performances for Saturday, for Haskell Day, which is their big day. Oh, my God, is it awful. The first eight races Saturday at Monmouth Park are basically unbettable. And then the stakes races are no great shakes either. And they have the audacity, I don't know if you know it or not, $100 to get in Monmouth Park on Saturday.
$100?
100 beans to go to Monmouth Park on Saturday.
Amazing.
To watch some real bad racing. Real bad racing. But we have some races for today.
Okay.
The eighth race is the 6-furlong Schuylerville for 2-year-old fillies. 8 horses go to post for this race. 2 horses here. Not looking to make money here, folks. Just looking to pick winners. I can't see anything past the favorites except maybe one upsetting the other. The 3-horse Beautiful Memories from Marquise came out late May at Churchill Downs, breaking her maiden, drawing away easily, winning by 10 lengths. This horse is still breaking sticks. That means having really, really good workouts at Churchill Downs. 2 bullet works in a row, both pretty close to each other. 159, 159, and 1. Beautiful Memories is going to get out front and keep on running, and I think that's going to be the horse to beat. The other horse in the Schuylerville, like I said, it's no rocket science here, is the 8-horse Hopeful Princess. This is another horse coming out of Churchill Downs from May, breaking her maiden, going 4.5 furlongs. So a 3.883 exact the box is the only thing to go there in the 8th race at Saratoga today. You might be able to get a box of cereal if you hit that exacta. The 9th race is the 1.125 Peter Pan. This race is normally run at Belmont, but this year with everything, it's been moved up to Saratoga. It goes from a 1-turn 1.125 at Belmont to 2 turns up at Saratoga. There are how many horses in this race? 9 horses going to post in here. And I'm going with the Louisiana connection here. I'm going with 3 horses coming out of the fairgrounds. One of them is the 8-horse Chesterton. This horse ran okay down at the fairgrounds, ran some decent numbers, had some time off, ran in a New York bred, state bred race at Belmont Park early in July. Ran a real even race of 2nd right around the track. I think 2 turns have really helped this horse, and at 10-1 is a good use in your exacta. The other horse, again, not going out on limbs here, is the six horse, Mystic Guy, trained by Michael Stidham. This horse broke his maiden going two turns at Fairgrounds by five lengths back in March. Has been off until June, comes back at Belmont Park. Ran another even race, finishing second by five, was 3-2 favorite that day. So expect this horse to run good. Michael Stidham's winning everything he puts at the track at Monmouth Park, and this horse ships from Fair Hills to Saratoga, probably up there yesterday. Should run very well for Godolphin in this race. But my top pick's going to be the three, Modernist. This horse broke her maiden at Aqueduct going a mile and eighth in January. Shipped down to Fairgrounds to run in the Risen Star. Won that race at 12-1. Ran third in the Louisiana Derby. Got some time off. Ran into Belmont. To me, that race just looked like a tightener for this horse. And I think Billy Mott will have this horse with the screws tightened a little bit better for Saratoga today. So the three, Modernist, is going to be my top pick. And the six horse, Mystic Guide, and the eight, Chestertown, will round out my exact box. So Saratoga's in business. See what happens. Maybe toward the end of the meet they'll let people in. I don't know one way or the other. But nonetheless, racing continues in New York, which is a good thing.
All right, now we're going to finish this up and remind. I'm going to remind. We're having some problems with this record computer that we do when we record our podcasts and our on demand. It speeds up and slows down sometimes. So if your podcast isn't posted in full, Mike, that's why it happened. We've got a new computer arriving today.
Okay, I thought when you said it slows up and speeds down, I'd sound like Mickey Mouse or I had helium or something.
It does. It does.
Really?
It does that every once in a while. It'll do that, and then it goes back, and all of a sudden it starts over. It's the damnedest thing. We noticed it yesterday on two or three of our on-demand pages, and then we went back the day before and noticed it on some of them. So we'll see what happens. It's a roll of the dice this morning. We'll see what happens.
All right. No problem.
We'll speak to you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Have a great day.
You got it, Mike. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Mike Causey with a check on sports this morning here on Robin Hood Radio.